Silence.
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 144 of Nerd Pride Radio. 144? It's a dozen. Come on, that's too easy. It's a gross. So, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me.
How are you doing today?
I am awesome, thank you for asking. My name is Mike Jones, and I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus.
I'm Noah Jones, and I'm a gaming nerd, puzzle nerd, science nerd, reading nerd, and a mystery nerd.
And, truth be told, there's probably like 7 other kinds of nerd that we only wish we were nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. Oh, all right. As always, you're listening to the best-smelling podcast on the internet. That's right. Nerd Pride smells exactly like the inside of a Charizard lair. That is...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, well, which is actually kind of like the inside of a sweaty Pokeball, really, most of the time. But still... That's Nerd Pride. Thank you for appreciating me. Good kid. All right. We're gonna start off straight into the meticulously planned portion of the podcast, which is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. But really, the only thing on our meticulously planned portion of the podcast is going to be gaming night. So let's start off with gaming table music.
Game night. Game.
I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got...
That's right. Role-playing games, video games, board games, card games, any games. If it fits on my gaming table, I am here to share it with you. And Noah and I went to game night again this week. Had a great time. And not even really much to talk about in specific. I mean, played lots of games we played before. Tried a new one called Quirkle. Which I know I didn't get in on that one. Quirkle is, there's tiles in it that are all shapes that come in different colors. So there's 6 different shapes in 6 different colors each. And you draw tiles out of the bag. And it plays a lot like Scrabble, where you're trying to make a line of either a line of all one color with no repeats of shapes, or a line of all the same shapes with no repeats in color. And it's really, really cool. I mean, it trips my puzzle trigger a lot, and I had a good time playing it. But that was the only new game we tried. And other than that, I mean, although I did sit down to a game of Settlers of Catan, which I've only played like a couple times before, and so far, it's always been fun, but it's never been, you know, never been one that's my first thing out of the box to pick up. It's not, you know, my first choice of game. So it's kind of sat there at the back for a while. And this game, I think my problem with the other ones is that they ran too long. It took us a while to, because you have to relearn setup each time because we don't play it often enough to have everything memorized. And so it takes a while to get it all set up and sorted out. And then once you've got it going, I just remember the last game, we must have gone for 40 extra minutes with everyone close to winning, but we just couldn't get the right resources and we kept blocking each other. And, I remember really enjoying it until it got kind of tedious at the end. But this game was really exciting all the way through. So it worked out really, really well. I was very happy with that. But the other cool thing is that And those of you who pay attention to the Facebook feed already know that, hey, we got a write-up in the local paper. It was awesome. They even called and interviewed me. Colin, who's one of the guys in charge of it, apparently recommended that the reporter from the paper talk to me about it. And go ahead.
I was the first one that you probably could notice with the light blue shirt.
Stop. All right, you probably couldn't make out what he was saying there, but... yeah, if you go and click on the article, there's a picture there, and me and Noah are both in the background of the photo for the paper. The light blue shirt is Noah. They know what you look like. I've showed them pictures before. It's all right. And we're just in the background of the picture playing guillotine is what we were playing that time. But anyway, we got a little article in the paper, and she even mentioned my podcast and my business cards, which I thought was cute, and it was just kind of cool. So, you know, now I'm like mega famous, people. Yeah, seriously, mega famous. All right.
Including me?
That's right.
And million people see me every day.
Well, okay, but maybe not 10 million, but, you know, a couple hundred, and maybe one or two that cared. So, you know, that's all I ever care about. Every time something new happens, it's like, you know what? If I walk away from it with just one or two new people who want to sit down and listen and join us in our experiment here, that makes me happy. So
yep.
So anyway, that's it for the meticulous applied portion of the podcast. What's even more exciting is that after 2 weeks off, me and R2-D2 have finally made up, and things are good between us again. So it's now time for the Pod-O-Matic! Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where did these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums at nerdpryradio.com/nerds. And I will add it to the Pod-O-Matic list, because Pod-O-Matic, seriously, is about whatever you guys want it to be. All right. And our first, well, wait, you know what? Before we get to our first number, sorry, R2, I hate to sideline you like this, but you know, Noah is here. And I'm not saying that Noah is more important than R2 or R2 is more. I'm just saying Noah's my flesh and blood. And so, yeah, he's more important than you, R2. So hold on just a second. Noah, let's do a level check. Talk from back there.
Sound check.
Okay. Except you don't have, nah, see where your levels are? That wasn't very loud. Here, come on up here. A little bit.
Sound check.
That's not too bad. All right. Anyway, we were just having a discussion. We were just having a discussion about levels. So we'll kind of see where that goes, but. All right, enough of that. Our first number is 39, and 39 comes from Mrs. Darks, which is not a surprise. Mrs. Darks asks the question, I'll let you field this one, Noah.
Wait, how do you feel about making childhood treats into adult treats by adding alcohol, drug, gummy bears, and the like?
All right, see, now, did you see your level? See how quiet that was?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, your mouth was way down here. We're going to have to kind of bring that up a bit. But to repeat the question, just in case that wasn't audible, how do you feel about making childhood treats into adult treats by adding alcohol, like drunk gummy bears and such? Because did you know that they can do that? That they take gummy bears and then they soak them in vodka, and then they soak up all the alcohol, so if you eat, well, you'd have to eat quite a lot of them, but if you eat a big enough handful of gummy bears the next day, it's like taking a shot of alcohol, and and you can get drunk off of gummy bears. So, Noah, how do you feel about that?
I would say don't do it. It's not right.
What's wrong about it?
Why make things that can absorb alcohol and make drunk treats?
All right. Well, yeah, all right. So he's against it. Apparently it's some kind of
weird not do it thing.
Right, perversion of nature. And
perversion of candy.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good way. I watch once in a while the Tipsy Bartender on YouTube. Yancey introduced me to this. Yancey loves the Tipsy Bartender, and quite often the reason I'm watching it is because Yancey is showing me the latest video. And he makes all sorts of drinks, and he is his name is Sky, and he's just charming as all get out. Tipsy Bartender. So if you're interested in in seeing interesting alcoholic drinks being made, Tipsy Bartender is kind of cool to watch. He's just a fun guy. A lot of them, yeah, they've made alcoholic candies and alcoholic fruits and alcoholic cakes and, I mean, all sorts of stuff with alcohol added. And for the most part, to me, it just looks like an awful lot of work for what will really be very little alcohol by volume. You know what I mean? It's the kind of thing that I don't drink that much anyway. And when I do, I just prefer, you know, like I say, good whiskey and Coke. I'm pretty simple. I don't know. It seems like a lot of work to go to for very little alcohol. You imagine the amount of gummy bears you'd have to eat to start feeling it. It just seems a little weird to me. But again, you know, if people are into it, I'm not knocking it. It's, to me, it's really cool to see it done, thus watching the videos. And I find it fascinating that they can put it all together. But again, there's been times that, you know, they'll do a whole, cake or a mousse or a something. And I'm looking at this thing going, yeah, but, you know, you've got that entire dessert there, enough to feed like 6 people. And there's maybe 2 shots of alcohol in the entire thing. It's not really, I don't know. It seems like it's more, that's kind of where I was going with it. A lot of times it seems like it's more for the idea of, hey, it's cool that we put alcohol in it. Not that it necessarily has any significant effect. It's kind of like, I thought it was really cool the first time I saw caffeinated jelly beans that you could buy, and they look like Jelly Bellies, taste like Jelly Bellies, but they're caffeinated. And I thought, oh, that's really cool, caffeinated jelly beans. And then I looked at the number of jelly beans you would have to eat just to equal a cup of coffee, and I'm like, wow, I got to throw down that much sugar just to get my coffee buzz? You know what? Way cheaper and way less fattening for me to just make myself a cup of coffee. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm too practical about this. Maybe I'm not seeing the fun side. You know what? I think we should get away from this topic.
Wait, hold on quickly. If you like caffeinated jelly beans, and if you like marshmallows in your coffee, you want an ultimate caffeine treat? Caffeinated marshmallows and caffeinated coffee.
I bet they have caffeinated marshmallows.
Yeah,
I would lay you money they do. They do?
Yeah.
God, you're good at this.
And chocolate flavor and just coffee flavor.
Cool. Yeah. You roll up R2 for me?
You ready, R2?
88.
That's right, 88.
88 says, oh, where are we? Oh, there we go. 88 is, no, I'm still not far enough. Man, I am no good at this game.
Still not far enough.
I know.
Still not far enough.
Why does sometimes it only moves one and sometimes it moves a whole sheet like it's supposed to? I don't get it. All right, 88 is Mrs. Darks again.
Okay, we need, instead of raw, Ronster, it's now Dark.
It's now, well, and it's Mrs. Darks and it's Kyle. My brother Kyle has a lot of them in here, but for some reason he just doesn't seem to be rolling up. We'll see what happens. Mrs. Darks says, what?
These two. Those are second roll, Dad.
Oh, you're right. It's number 2. Sorry. There we go. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. Mrs. Darks says, what is your favorite charity? Okay, I'll let Noah answer first. Noah, what's your favorite charity?
Orphan Grain Train.
That's a good pick. That's actually the closest charity to our house. It's just down the street from us. The Orphan Grain Train it's got a long history as to why it's called that. But essentially, they make low-cost, nutritionally complete meals that can be shipped cheaply, made from real orphans. They can be, and real grain. Don't forget the grain. But these meals can be shipped around the world to areas of need, and, that we've actually done volunteer work for them, on several occasions where you'll go over and spend an hour, you have to organize a group because you need enough people to do it, but your group gets together and you spend an hour there and you help measure out and package up all these meals. And it's really cool. And what you're getting when you package up a meal, it is essentially, it's like cooking ramen. I mean, it's basically, you have these dry packaged meals that it's just add hot water and suddenly, you know, you've got soup. And they're made largely with rice, and there's a bunch of different dried vegetables in it, and then the chicken powder, so there is some protein in it, in the chicken stock. But they wind up being, again, nutritionally complete meals that we pack up, and they cost, I think, you know, all of 4 cents a meal to cook them up. One package makes 6 meals. And so, you know, you make 6 meals out of that. You can feed a family of 6 with the one package.
And there's like 60 in like a package, or like 30. So if you get one whole box of those, you can save like 180 people.
I know. I've always been tempted. I'm like, God, you know, we could just walk out of here with a box of these. Our family could eat for a year. It'd be awesome. But I think that would be unethical. But no, that's a cool one. That was a really good choice. I was thinking Doctors Without Borders. I was thinking there's one that my wife, our Amazon purchases, we have the commission from our Amazon purchases that go to a charity that helps with it's plastic surgery for underdeveloped countries. So for things like cleft lip, cleft palate, which, you know, the connection there is that I have a cleft lip, cleft palate, and so therefore helping the less fortunate who don't have the same access to resources that I had as a baby, that kind of thing. Boy, there's a bunch of good stuff out there, really. But I'm going to go with Noah's answer and say Orphan Grain Train. I think that's pretty cool. You want to roll again, man? Just hit it.
R2, let's go!
60. And
just 60 is from... 60.
Yep. 60 is from... It's from Ronster. See, you say his name and he appears. That's pretty
now
good.
Now it's gonna be me.
Okay, this Podomatic entry is for the person with the least questions on the list. Discard this one and read theirs. Okay, hold on. Let's see who's got the least number of entries on the list. It would be O. Oh my goodness. You're right. Your name is at the end of the list. You have one.
Yeah, I also have one.
Right, but, when I sorted it, your name came out last. So whether that's, Talvin technically has the least, because Talvin has 0, along with, Darks and Aiden and Billy Bob. So.
And Serious Paul.
There's a bunch of people who've run out of stuff, but let's find Noah's name on this list. And, hold on, find Noah. No, there's Noah there. Next. Yeah. There's Noah. All right, hold on. So Noah is now officially question number 3. And it says, Dad, who'd win in a fight between a dragon
and a cybernetic King Kong?
Okay. Between a dragon and a cybernetic King Kong, it really depends on the size of the dragon. I mean, I hate to get all...
Equal size.
They're roughly the same size.
Exactly the same size.
Okay. Okay. So they're exactly the same size. Cybernetic King Kong, does he, I assume he's made of titanium or some other really strong metal.
His iron parts are as strong as the dragon's parts.
Okay. Does Cybernetic King Kong have any extra powers from being,
laser eye like dragon?
Oh, man. All right, you're really evening these out.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Wait. Then in that case...
Oh, no. He has an ion cannon breath.
All right, I am going to...
But it only goes as far as the fire.
Yeah, you know what?
It does the same thing.
I don't care. I'm going to give it to the dragon. because I think dragons are unbelievably clever. I think dragons are just really, really smart. And Cybernetic King Kong is... I mean, King Kong's just a gorilla. He's just as smart as an ape. And so therefore...
So he's just as smart as us.
Oh, technicalities. All right, he's as smart as a gorilla. All right? Leaving aside the fact that humans are apes. But Cybernetic King Kong, I grant. Cybernetic King Kong, maybe his cybernetic brain makes him smarter, but I'm still gonna give it to the dragon for being...
Because the dragon says sly as a fox dragon.
Right. I think dragons would be cleverer. Because you seem to have matched them up pretty evenly on ability, so I'm gonna just go with brains here. So, there we go. Oh, I did it that time. Look at that, double 0. Oh, that rocks.
Number
100.
Really?
And 100 is... Whoops. Yep. Oh, wait, 100. We were way beyond. No, see, poor Noah's. His wouldn't even come up this week because his was like number 215. So, and we only roll from 1 to 100. All right, number 100. Yeah, we're back to Mrs. Darks. And Mrs. Darks says, if you were going to write a novel, what is the main character's name? Do you want to answer this one first or do you want me to do it?
Stupodo.
Stupodo?
Because I want my guy to be stupid.
Okay. I'll give you Stupodo. All right. And I paused to take a drink there. Noah ran off. He's so excited about the name Stupodo that he has to go tell his mom how cool this name is. Me personally, if I were writing a novel right now, the novel I have in mind, the main character's name is Azel. A-Z-L-E. Azel Murphy. For whatever that's worth. So, there you go. That's the name of my main character.
Wait, my guy's last name is Dudombo.
Oh, see, now you're stretching it, man. Just stretch it. Oh, there we go. Noah rang it.
70! 70-100!
All right, you gotta quit yelling in their ears, man.
There's 7,000.
We will find a good balance for you yet. 70 is, it says the guy who screams silence at his listeners at the beginning of every show. My goodness, look at that! Do you see that? It's Mrs. Darks again.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, she is prolific here.
It's my Ronster rage.
That's right. You can now transfer it to a Sarah Beth rage. All right. Do you teach your kids to call adults by... Hold on. Forgot that alarm was set. Do you teach your kids to call adults by their honorarium and last name? Mr. Darks, Mrs. Darks, etc. Or ask said adult their preferred name and teach them that. Boy, we've never...
Teachers, yes.
Yeah, teachers, yes. Everybody else?
Even.
Yeah, it really depends. And in most cases, we usually go by the honorarium, which is a word that I've never encountered in this context, but... I like it.
Honorarium.
But most times, it's not even a matter of for us to even tell them, because whenever they meet a new adult, the adult will, usually we tell them, we just say, you know, start off with Mr. or Mrs. whatever, or even Dr. whatever, you know, whatever the proper title is. But then the adult will then almost immediately, if they have a preference for using their given name or whatever, then the adult will just say, oh, just call me whatever, you know, Kathy.
Just call me Sam.
So, and that's just fine. So, and although, a lot of times, with family members, there are certain family members that they, like aunts and uncles, that they will, depending on how close they are to the family and how often we see them, there's some of them that, you know, it's always Uncle Al or Uncle, you know, whatever. Or you throw aunt in front of it. Not for Al. He prefers Uncle. But that it seems a little presumptuous just to go, hey, Al, as opposed to, hey, Uncle Al. But, you know. But, yeah, most of the time we teach them to use a title if they don't know. And then adults will always tell them whether or not they want them to use the title, whether they want them to use their first name, whatever. It's never been a real issue for us. I mean, it's never been anything real formal. So nothing hard and fast, but good question. I got to ring this one. This one is a 63. 63 comes from, there it is, from surprise. It's Mrs. Darks. Okay.
I'm not answering.
All right, you can go. Good. It's an F. Mary Kill anyway, so you should probably go. F. Mary Kill, Walking Dead, will only make sense if you're past season 4. Huh. All right, if not, skip this and say hi to R2 for me. No, it's
hi, R2.
It's Abraham, Eugene, and the governor post eye removal. All right. Walking Dead. Oh, God. Abraham, Eugene, and the governor.
What's post-eye removal?
That means after he had his eye removed. He wore an eye patch afterwards because he lost an eye. I'm going to kill the governor. I'm going to kill the governor because I hated him from beginning to end. I can't imagine getting even close to the man. He skeeves me out really bad.
So give him post-eye removal?
No. It's the governor after he lost his eye, is what she's saying. And so the governor, with or without an eye, no, that guy's gone. And that leaves me to choose between, do I want to marry Eugene or do I want to marry Abraham? And, ultimately, no, Abraham's not the president. Ultimately, I think I'm gonna go with marrying Eugene, because ultimately, we have more in common, Eugene and I, and while he is really socially awkward, and at first not a very pleasant person, by the end, and I'm really confusing between the TV show and the comics, because I've read the comics all the way up through the end of the third compendium, so I've gotten a good bit further than the TV show, or at least the point of the TV show I've seen. Eventually he becomes redeemable, really. I mean, he's working. He tries. I mean, the man can change. That's what I'm saying. So I would go with marrying Eugene, which would thus leave the F portion of this equation, to go to Abraham, which, you know, that's not bad. That's who I want to make out with.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, you have to choose one that you're just going to make out with and just have fun with for one night. And then one that you're going to marry and live with for the rest of your life. And then one you have to kill.
So, I'd say marry the governor. Kill?
No. You haven't seen the show. The governor's a bad dude. He's a bad dude. I mean, oh, man, no, there's no... You know what, I'm getting off of this. This is not a question for a 10-year-old. What were you thinking, Sarah, man? 87.
Sorry about that double roll.
87 comes from... There it is. It's from Zimney. Hey, Zim.
And, well, thank goodness.
And Zim says, what are your top three X-Files cases?
Ugh. I don't really care.
Yeah, you've never seen X-Files.
I saw a bit of it, but I forgot.
Okay. Oh, man, I haven't seen enough X-Files. I've seen through season 2.
I'll pause it.
Probably. Then. No, I'm going to have to pause it. Okay, I had to pause it there over Noah's protests in order to make sure I got the titles of these correct, because I knew the ones I wanted to talk about. All right, first off, I don't know the guy, what's the one? Very early on, he was one of the first Monster of the Weeks, the guy that could squeeze himself through the tight spaces, and he even came back, he recurred once. I liked him a lot, and I thought about including him, but I didn't. Because I really like the episode of entitled Beyond the Sea, which was about Scully dealing with her dad's death, and I thought that was a really good episode. Really good. There was something very powerful about that one. I liked the episode Humbug, which was the one with the carnival freaks. I thought that one was amazing. I really, like I say, It was just very entertaining. I liked that, I had an extra connection to it because, a lot of the characters, well, at least Jim Rose himself and some of his people that worked with from Jim Rose's Circus Sideshow, appeared as some of the freaks in that episode. And I've seen Jim Rose and his Circus Sideshow in person and really enjoyed it. And so I felt a little extra connection there, but I thought the Carnival Freak episode was pretty good. There was a lot of things in there that worked really well, especially when Scully ate the bee, which she didn't actually eat the bee, but man, it looked for all the world like she did. That was pretty cool. I think it was that she, in the show, she's acting like it's a fake, but in real life, she actually ate it, I think. Anyway, either way, it was kind of creepy. And then I also really like, and apparently I've seen up into season 3, because as I just looked it up, Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose. That was the name I was actually looking for, because the others I could actually just describe the episodes to you. But for Clyde Bruckman, I couldn't remember his name, and I knew it was in the title. And that one is about a guy who can... Clyde Bruckman, who can see the future. And basically, when he sees your future, he knows when you're going to die. He knows how you're going to die. And there's a whole bunch of stuff in here about fate versus, you know, being able to control your own destiny. And it was, again, a fascinating examination. I loved that episode. But I haven't finished season three. I know I haven't. So I've seen at best 2.5 seasons of this show. And so therefore, I'm not the greatest expert on this. But those of the ones I've seen, those are the ones I really like. And again, as much as I enjoyed X-Files and I enjoyed listening to Kumail Nanjiani and his X-Files podcast and following along, X-Files is still a bit dated, and it's still, while they were interesting, a lot of times they were more interesting than enjoyable. Like, you know, oh, hey, I'm glad I watched that. That was really interesting. But I'm not feeling the emotional connection to it that I would have if I had seen them when they first came out, 20 years ago. So, you know, that's me. Anyway, Noah's anxious. There 40, we go.
54. Tired of talking about X-Files.
Yes, you think it sounds a little dated to me. Imagine how Noah feels about X-Files.
Hate it.
Oh, this one's from Kyle.
Peggy.
And Kyle says, what weird food cravings do you get? I sometimes crave peanut butter toast on gluten-free bread. Well, of course on gluten-free bread for you, you poor bastard. Weird food cravings that I get. Usually my food cravings will be, it's always of three types. Either I need something filling, so I'm looking for something with protein in it, and peanut butter is usually a good choice for that. I need something salty, or I need something sweet. Those are the cravings I get, and it's usually not much more specific than that. But yeah, sometimes it'll be, I'll walk in there, and I'm like, I need peanut butter. That's one that actually does get a specific. Or sometimes I walk in and it's like, I need something I can put ketchup on. And so, you know, whether that's a, like right now we have leftover hamburger patties in the fridge. So if it's hamburgers or hot dogs, or sometimes it's just, you know what? I'm just going to grab a bag of potato chips and dip them in ketchup because I need something I can put ketchup on. Usually that's my salt craving. So, they're usually not that specific. So. And Noah's gone again. We talked about food cravings, and he's like, oh, I have to go make myself some peanut butter toast. So he's out. So, let's go ahead and move on. 91. 91 comes from, let's see. There it is. It's from Daz. Hey, Daz. Daz says, is it cruel of me to say how much I prefer Princess Leia in episode 6 as opposed to episode 7. That bikini just won't do it for me 30 plus years on. Look, no. Here's the thing. Yeah, when she was in episode 6, which is known as Return of the Jedi, she was young and she was super hot and she was wearing that, you know, slave bikini outfit that everyone thought was so cool. And she was super hot. Got it. And now, you know, she shows up in episode 7, and now she's an old woman. Yeah, of course. It's a very different. So yes, if you want to talk about, you know, are you more physically attracted to young Leia than old Leia? Well, that's not a surprise. That's built into the culture right now that we find youth, youth and all that more attractive than we do, age and wisdom and strength. But, you know, nothing wrong with that. I suppose I could launch into all the stuff about the sexist nature of that outfit and the fact that you know, and which was the whole point, by the way. The whole point was she was made to be what appeared to be a damsel in distress. That outfit and her position there was all about sexual dominance. It was a rape-style situation, a sexual assault-style situation, and not a good thing. And so the fact that you are turned on to by seeing her, or that anyone's turned on by seeing her in that outfit, knowing that that's what it represents, okay, can we feel a little icky about that? Probably, but you know, also, while that is what it represents, it was also specifically designed to be titillating to the audience. So, you know, don't feel too bad for responding to that outfit in the way the writers and producers were hoping you would respond to that outfit, because that's what they were looking for. Have I overanalyzed this? Probably so. But either way, I just enjoy Star Wars. And I was glad to see Leia in the new movie. I thought she was awesome in the new movie. I felt like Han, Harrison Ford. I felt like, you know, man, you know, he's building up to his death scene. Sorry, spoilers. He's ready to be done. He's ready to be done with Star Wars. He's ready to be out the door. I don't feel like he put everything he had into this one. Whereas Leia, I felt like Carrie Fisher was really working this one. I felt like she really wanted to be there and she really wants to be a part of this franchise. And I thought that was really cool. So, you know, for what it's worth. Anyway, 97. Oop, there it is. It's from Ronster again. Hey, Ron. All right. And Ronster says, what is your opinion on non-Caltrop-esque Die-4 like these? I think I've answered this question before. Either way, he's referring to the Die-4s that are, essentially they are, rectangular prisms. So, they're like, it's a rectangular prism. It's like a box. You gotta imagine about a shoebox shape, except the two ends of the shoebox, come down into points, so it can't ever land on the ends, because they're pointed, and it will roll over onto one of the sides. And so it can only land on one of the four sides. And thus, like a normal human die, you roll it, and you're gonna get a number from 1 to 4, but the number will always be facing up like it's supposed to be, and it won't be a caltrop. It won't hurt as much when you step on it. You don't have to look at the side of the darn thing and read it, by deciding, you know, anyway, figuring out which number is right side up, whether it's at the bottom or the top of the pyramid, and trying to, no. These are just, they roll like regular dice, they look more like regular dice, a lot easier on the senses, and they actually roll. I love that. So yeah, my opinion is that while they are still Die-4s, they are far superior to the traditional pyramid-style Die-4. So, there you go. 57. Boy, he is taking a long time with that peanut butter toast, didn't he? If he even puts peanut butter on it. He said toast. I assumed he meant peanut butter. But we'll see. I bet he's doing butter with cinnamon and sugar. We've got a bowl of cinnamon and sugar in there. Boy, that would be a really good choice too, wouldn't it? Man, now I'm wanting some toast. All right, this one's from Zimny. And Zimny says, one of your favorite players wants to play a flail snail in your Pathfinder game, and OFC, and I don't know what OFC is standing for in this. I've got a brain fart on it. Doesn't matter. And OFC, you say yes. Maybe that's just a typo. Maybe it's an acronym. I don't know. So anyway, they want to play a flail snail, and I say yes. What fun plots and adventures do you treat them to? All right. The problem with this premise is I would never, never agree. Oh. Noah's back. Hi, Noah. What kind of toast did you make?
Butter, cinnamon, and sugar.
All right. I was right on my second guess. It's a good choice, man. Oh, it smells great. I would never allow someone to play a flail snail. Have you even seen the picture of it? You gotta imagine your traditional spiral shell snail, and then its little slug head comes out, and instead of being a regular slug head, it's like a spiked ball, like a flail, like I think even with multiple heads, so that it can then, it's a giant snail that can batter you as if it were a flail. And so therefore, no, nobody's, you know what, not only would I not let someone play a flail snail in my game, I wouldn't even use it as a monster in my game because it's that ridiculous. That's how I feel about flail snails. Although, now that you've sat here and listened to me say this, you guys are fighting flail snails next time. But other than that, I would never allow that in my game. Never. Although, if someone was playing a flail snail, I don't know. Yeah, they have to tightrope walk above a salt bed. I don't, you know, what do you do to challenge your flail snail? Do they even have brains in there? Or are they psionic creatures? I can't even remember. I mean, they could be anything. They came out of the, originally they came out of the Fiend Folio, from the original AD&D. And, that would be Dungeons and Dragons first edition, for those of you who don't understand the advanced Dungeons and Dragons lingo. And, the Fiend Folio was the, British contribution to Dungeons and Dragons at the time. And while there's lots of really cool stuff in the Fiend Folio, there's a bunch of really silly stuff, like the flail snail and the flumph. Maybe it's just the F section. I don't know. I can't even let him in. 51. 51 is from... Does that guinea pig have water? Really? Well, dump the rest of that food in there. They just cleaned the guinea pig cage today, so there's always a chance that they finish cleaning it and then put him back without food or water. So, put her back. So, because she's being a little loud over there, our one remaining guinea pig. All right, 51 is from Zimney. Zimney says, how awesome is that Steven Universe show? Oh, dude, so awesome. I mean, I've raved about Steven Universe here before. I think the thing is amazing and progressive and joyous and wonderful and just magical. I love Steven Universe for everything that it is. It makes me happy to watch Steven Universe, except for Catfingers. The Catfingers episode can just go jump off a cliff. Catfingers creeps me out so bad. But other than Catfingers, I love Steven Universe. I think it's wonderful. So, 31. 31 is a number. There it is. Hey, it's from Kyle. Hi, Kyle. And Kyle says, what's your opinion on pure dice games? I suppose Yahtzee would fit this category, but we've been playing Zombie Dice at my house, which is a quick, fun dice game that you can play in 5 minutes, and the only thing you need are 13 six-sided zombie dice. What say you? Well, you also need pencil and paper. But I love Zombie Dice. I love Zombie Dice, and I have Cthulhu Dice, Cthulhu Dice is one 12-sided die with bizarre markings on it, and then a bunch of little glass beads that you use as counters. And Cthulhu Dice, back when, was it Aiden or Jacob? One of them, when we went to camp, we played a lot of Flux that year, and we also played a lot of Zombie Dice, and then the kids, I keep my Cthulhu Dice, it's in a tiny little bag, and I keep the Cthulhu Dice inside the Zombie Dice cylinder, the can, and so whenever I'd pull out the Zombie Dice, the Cthulhu Dice bag would just kind of sit off to the side, and the kids finally asked me, I said, oh, come on, can't we play it? And so we figured out the rules, and we tried it out, and I remember it being really challenging and a lot of fun, because you have to kind of, if I remember correctly, you kind of have to work other people a little bit, and it was different, and we really enjoyed it. We played it a lot. I mean, we would go round after round of that game, because again, it was another 5 minute dice game. And then I've never broken it out since that summer at camp. Other than that, we've never played it again. And yet it comes, yeah, it goes with us everywhere, because we have zombie dice. We never go anywhere without zombie dice. So it goes with us everywhere. And you know what? Yeah, next time let's break out Cthulhu Dice and let's run a couple of rounds and see how it goes again. But yeah, I love dice games. I think they're great if they're done well. Yahtzee, I've enjoyed lots of Yahtzee in my life. But, you know, ultimately,
could be better?
Yeah, Yahtzee's not great. It's not bad though. I mean, it's really, Yahtzee's not a bad game. It's just such an old game that I lump it in with the traditional, you can't see my quote fingers, but traditional, games. And, as we were just discussing at game night the other night, traditional games mostly suck. Monopoly, terrible game. All right. And for those of you who have had fun playing Monopoly in your life, yeah, I know you had fun playing it. I've had fun playing Monopoly, but it's still a bad game. Because Monopoly is really fun for the first 45 minutes, maybe half hour. All right. And then once you've reached the point where most of the spots on the board are sold, at that point, you already know who's going to win. You can look at the board. You can see who's got the most property, who's got the most expensive property, and you have a pretty good idea of who's going to win at that point. And 15 more minutes of play, and now, yeah, we know who's going to win. And now we have to just keep playing until everyone else is ground into dirt. Honestly, it just comes down to, that game would be so much better if we played, if you just played 1 hour, stop, and then let's just see who's got the most money and resources after 1 hour. That would be a way better way to play Monopoly, because otherwise Monopoly sucks. Risk, same thing. It's, you know who's going to win usually after the first hour. All right, you've got a pretty good idea of who's going to win after the first hour. And then after that point, it's a matter of, but if I can just collect enough cards, look, I could trade in and get 45 new armies. And then you burst forth from Australia and you spread out across the continents. You take over half the board because you think you're all badass and stuff. And then immediately on the next turn, they whip you back into place and you're right back into Australia where you started from. And now it's just a matter of how long it takes them to build a big enough army to beat up the guys you've got sitting on Siam and take over. I mean, it is 1 hour of fun in Risk followed by 5 hours of grinding. And it's a terrible game for all that. Although I hear Risk Legacy is really, really awesome. And I've been meaning to try that out, but, I haven't seen a copy yet. But one of these days. This all came from, do I like dice games? But I would say, as we were talking about it, the one classic game that I still absolutely love is Clue. I think Clue is a wonderful game. I could play Clue. I haven't played it in ages, but I should. I don't even know.
What is Clue?
See? That's what I was going to say. I don't think my kids even know what Clue is. Clue is a game where it's a murder mystery, and you're a mystery nerd. And in Clue, you have a board with a bunch of rooms on it, representing all the rooms in the mansion. So you've got a ballroom and a lounge and the kitchen and the study and all these different places.
And a middle finger room.
And then there's different weapons out there. So you have a rope and a lead pipe and a gun and all these different weapons that can be used. And then you have all the people who are playing. And they're all named by their colors. So they're Miss Scarlet and Colonel Mustard and Professor Plum. And
Is there Captain Blue?
No, there's not Captain Blue. The blue is Mrs. Peacock. And the white is Mr. White. So,
right, playing out names, but anyway, just like the color.
But, then, in an envelope in the middle of the board, because there's cards for each of them, you put one person, one room, and one weapon. So that's who the murderer is. So if you pull those out, it would be Colonel Mustard did it in the dining room with a knife. And so, now your job, so you have to go from room to room and make guesses. And people will reveal cards to show you that your guess is wrong. And then you have to get enough clues to put it all together. Hey, Aiden, welcome home. We're right in the middle of Potomatic.
Sweet. What's the question?
Do you like games that are nothing but dice? Like zombie dice or Yahtzee?
They're alright.
Yeah, he says they're alright.
We're
actually talking about Clue now. And so, I'm explaining to Aiden.
Clue includes more than just dice?
No, I know. I've kind of branched out. I went on a tangent.
You always do this.
Yeah, I know.
The listeners want to hear this?
Just hold on.
Anyway, eat some cinnamon sugar butter.
So,
or toast.
The upshot of all of this is that Clue, for a traditional game, is an awesome game. I love Clue. We need to get some Clue out and play around. Seriously, guys. Number 11. Okay. I had to pause there because I just realized I never put up listener betrayal. I feel terrible. I never put
you
up listener.
You betrayed your listener betrayal.
So I went up and put up listener betrayal, but it's really only going to be there for about 15 minutes before we start reading it. And so, I feel like I've robbed you guys. You know what? Maybe I'll pause this and take a break for like a half hour and give you guys some time to catch up.
Yeah,
maybe that would be the only fair thing to do. Anyway, this one is from Mrs. Darks. And then This says, tell us about the object that is immediately to your left right now. It's a paper plate that was used to hold cinnamon sugar toast.
Actually, it's my body and my life.
Oh, okay. Yeah, actually, it's Noah and his favorite blanket.
It's his clothing, actually.
So,
technically, it's clothing and
not a whole lot to say about it, really. I mean, it's just Noah. You guys know Noah. Let's try one more. 31, we've done. 15, that'll work.
We've done.
15 is from Master. Sweet. Hey, Master. Master says, Goku is better than Superman. Tell us why, and don't try to change the format. I want you to tell us why Goku is better.
Okay.
Oh,
sorry.
Go ahead.
You need to sit down because you know nothing about this topic. All right.
So, hold on. I'm gonna turn the microphone over here so that Aiden can take this.
All right. Superman may be indestructible except for some rocks. But the point is that Goku has the ability of infinite potential. Goku can push himself past limits that weren't thought possible. He is now a Super Saiyan God Super Saiyan. I don't know how it works, but it does. And all he needs to do is instant transmission, find some kryptonite, bring it back, and punch Superman in the face. Fight over. Goku has limitless potential, while Superman can be beaten with a rock.
Okay, that's his opinion. I was going to say that Goku is superior because he represents the Nazi ideal.
Can you stop that?
And therefore, we all know that Nazis are the master race.
You know what? You know what?
Right?
I looked it up. I fact-checked you on this. And no, it's not because they're making Aryan imagery. It's because they didn't want to have to animate the hair, so they made it the same color as their backdrop.
Right. Of course they're gonna say that. No one's gonna come right out and go, yes, we did it this way because we love Hitler. No, they're never gonna admit it. Of course they're gonna give you some bullshit story about animation needs and whatever. Blah, whatever. No. It is Goku is an advertisement for Hitler Youth.
No,
that's all I'm saying.
No, his most powerful form now does not have blonde hair. It has blue hair. So don't you even try.
All right, so he's an old Nazi. All right, fine. Blue hair. It's a women with gray hair. You get a blue rinse, and they're called blue hairs. They have a... blue hair. It's a term, right? Come on, support me, people. He's looking at me like I'm nuts.
No, that's just rock star hair.
All right, hold on.
He's not rock star.
Oh, sorry, topic's over.
No! 39.
39. Oh, there. Oh, I just had it, and I lost it. There it was. All right, 39 is one we've done. Damn it. All right, how about 52? 52 is from Zimny. Hey, Zim.
You already done it.
Nope. I did 51 from Zimny. Now it's 52 from Zimny. This one says, you've been doing the Podomatic for a long time now. How many listener questions have you answered?
Wait, Dad, you're supposed to say, huh?
I would guess that, look, it's been 144 episodes, and we've done, this will be like the third time I've done an all-Podomatic episode, maybe fourth time. So those will be a little bit extra, but for a while there, I was doing an average of about 9 or 10 every episode for a long time. And then I've cut back recently because listener betrayal is taking up more time. And so, you know, I've been down to somewhere between 3 and 6 on most episodes for the last bunch. But, you know, sometimes I'm over, sometimes I'm under. So let's just guess an average of 7 per episode for the entire history of this podcast. If anyone wants to go fact check this and count them all up, you guys go right ahead. But I'm going to say, you know, if we figure about 7 per podcast for 144 episodes now, well, let's do the math. That puts us at 1,050, roughly. So I'm going to say somewhere between 1,000 and 1,200 Podomatic entries that I have answered so far in the history of this podcast. I think that's pretty impressive, to tell the truth. God, you know what? If I had kept track of these things, like keeping track of the fifth anniversary of my podcast, which I completely missed because it was in April. But imagine if I kept track of the Podomatics as I answered them, and I actually celebrated the 1,000th 1,000th Podomatic, a few episodes ago. Wouldn't that have been cool? God, it had to be in there somewhere. So, anyway, good question. That is 69, dude. 69 is, oh, God. Yeah, you have to giggle?
Yeah.
Jeez, I expect that from Eli. He's 13. All right, this one's from Kyle.
And it's a long one.
And it's a long one. They usually are from Kyle. Kyle says, you had a bad experience assigning your family members to the different Avengers in a previous episode. Sorry for that. Now assign your wife and each of your kids to be one member of the Teen Titans. The Teen Titans Go.
You had to ruin it.
Yeah, it has to be. So I've got Robin, Beast Boy, Starfire, Raven, and Cyborg.
That's also from the original anime, so I don't know
show your work.
How he had to say go.
Well, because Teen Titans actually, as a comic, has had many members. So.
Right, but you could have said the Teen Titans anime, which would make me less disgusted at this question.
Oh, now come on, Teen Titans Go was fun.
Teen Titans Go is fun. It's still going.
So
it hasn't stopped.
All right, look. Jacob is going to be Robin, because he's the one. Well, wait a minute. Yeah, Jacob's going to be Robin, because he's the most goody-goody of all of them. He's the most straight-laced paladin type. That's really Robin, the one with the, and he has a sense of humor. But this would be, Robin has to be the person on the team with the. Except Raven. I was going to say with the least sense of humor, but boy, Raven's got way less sense of humor than that.
That'd be Eli.
I'd be.
Yeah, you know what?
I'm the wild kid.
Wait, no, you know what? You're right. Eli's going to hate me for this. God, he was so mad that he got stuck with Thor, and now I'm going to make him Raven.
Hey, you know what? I would be proud to be Raven, all right?
Noah?
I'd be Beast Boy.
Noah?
Because I'm the wild.
Noah? Can you go get Eli for me so I can ask him a question?
Oh, I've heard he's home. Mm-hmm. He's usually never home.
Oh, he's not going to like this. All right, because I think I'm going to go. I'm going to go.
We need you for another.
Jacob is Robin. Eli's Raven. I'm going to make my wife Starfire. All right. Of the Teen Titans Go team,
or
Eli.
Or did you just say Teen Titans?
The Teen Titans Go team.
Stop it!
The five of them.
Teen Titans Go.
The five of them.
Get out of the chair!
Wait. Which one do you think you are most like in personality? Male or female doesn't matter, but in personality, which one do you like the best? Which one would you most relate to? Because last time you were very upset when I said that you had to be Thor.
I have no idea.
So I'm gonna let you pick on this one.
I don't.
He's Spider-Man.
Okay. Because if you don't pick, I'm making you Raven. Are you okay with Raven?
I don't care.
Okay, you're
the all right, nine. Then he's Raven. All right. Let's see. And since Noah is clamoring for Beast Boy over here.
Because I'm the wildest.
Yes, as he has explained several times. He's the wild one. He's the goofiest one. I can give him that. And then that leaves Aiden, your cyborg.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't mind being Cyborg.
I like being Beast Boy.
Kyle,
smart one.
Kyle did say show your work, but I'm not going to do that. 08. And 08 is from... It's from Kyle again. And Kyle says, no, seriously, don't cop out on me. Show your work. Why did you pick those? No, that's not what he says. Kyle says, crayons. Box of 8 or 64? 24, actually. I prefer having, more than the traditional 8 because crayons don't usually mix as well as you'd want them to, when you're trying to come up with fine shadings of color. So I like having 16 or 24. So I have more than just the basic 8. I've got a little bit of variety in there, or even the 36 box.
But 64 is a little excessive.
Yeah, 64 just feels like too many. It's such a big box, and it just feels like...
Okay, hold on, okay, off topic, but what do you feel about the 128s that are out now?
I've never seen a 128 box.
Yeah.
But if I have to choose between 8 and 64, I mean, when I was a kid, oh, give me a 64 box any day. I loved having a 64 box of real Crayola crayons. Oh, that was so awesome. Because I loved having all the varieties. I loved being able to pick them out and see what the colors were called. It was awesome. I loved having that much variety. But then he also further goes on to say, crayons or colored pencils.
Colored pencils, straight up.
Yeah, colored pencils are better than crayons. It's a lot easier to do the shading and degrees. You just have more flexibility with a colored pencil in my
opinion. Plus, they make more furry.
And then
best for hair.
Either one of those or markers. Again, I still prefer colored pencils over markers, although any of them are fine, really. And then, strangely, I can't help because the two questions are side by side here. So that was number 8 from Kyle. Number 9 is from Irish Fan. And so we've gone straight from, okay, crayons, 8 or 64. Oh, favorite color. We missed favorite color.
Singed flesh.
Singed flesh. That's funny.
That's a crayon color.
What about infected boil pink?
Infected boil pink is a good one.
And flesh.
I've always been fond of cornflower blue. And
pansy.
And burnt sienna and brick red. So those three have always been favorites of mine. But anyway, as I was saying, let's bleed these two questions together. Favorite color? And then he says, crayons or colored pencils? Either one of those are markers. And then into the next question, curly fries? Or it says, oh, curly slide or traditional straight slide?
You can't get a lot of speed on a curly slide.
Right. I like a straight slide if we're talking about slides at in a playground. But if you're talking about at a water park, then, you know, I like the big curly wild ones. But then he says curly fries or traditional fries. I like curly fries because they're spiced usually. But I like any fries and I like a variety. So sometimes I like regular fries. Sometimes I like curly. Sometimes I like them waffle fries, steak fries. It just depends on the meal and the mood. I was bleeding right into it. This one's from Irish Fan. And then curly hair or straight hair?
Depends on the situation.
Yeah, it really depends on the situation.
I say curly hair.
I would say usually straight hair, but again, I can find both very attractive and very becoming depending on the person. I mean, Aiden's right. It just depends on the situation. And then he says, is there a correlation between your desire for, is there a correlation? So does your preference for a curly slide, curly fries, curly hair all go together, or are they unrelated
Absolutely
to one another?
They are unrelated in every single way.
Huh. That's interesting. It would be interesting to do a survey of people and among a bunch of, you know, among, you know, 30 other questions, with preferences for all sorts of stuff, include curly versus straight hair, curly versus straight fries, etc., and see if there is a correlation, that comes up. I would find that fascinating. So, anyway, one more. All right. That says 53. And this will be, now according to the numbering I've been doing, which is not always accurate because sometimes I'm just guessing, this would be the 20th Podomatic for this episode, which might be a good place to stop. This one's from Mrs. Darks. Do you think that emoticons, not emojis, are acceptable for professional emails, publications, presentations? In general, no. But there are situations. It depends when you say, professional emails. Yeah. You know, there's been plenty of emails that I do at work where if I'm communicating with someone, you know, if it's just me and them, then there's been plenty of times that I'll use an emoticon just to let them understand that, hey, you know what? This is no big deal. Don't worry about it. I'm the computer guy, so it's usually they're writing to me with something that they think they've broken or they think they've screwed up or why doesn't this work the way it's supposed to. And so people can get very defensive when it comes to their computer skills. And so when I send back a note and I'm letting them know that, oh, yeah, this is no big deal. We see this all the time. Sometimes I'll end it with a little, you know, a little bit of humor and maybe a smiley or something, just to let them know that, yeah, you know what, this is not a big deal. It really isn't. Don't worry about it. And that's just to set them at ease. But would I use it in a, it depends. I mean, in a training? Yeah, I would use it in a training because, again, you're trying to deal with people on this personal level and get them comfortable with stuff. Would I use it in a professional presentation? Well, I don't think I would, but I don't do a lot of professional presentations of stuff, so therefore, I don't know. I mean, again, it depends on your audience. I have no problem with them if you're making a conscious choice to do that and it's communicating the mood that you want to communicate. I don't know that I'd think more or less of a presentation or an email that had an emoticon in. I don't think that would bother me. Huh. Weird. Yeah, I don't know. I think they're fine. Go ahead, Aiden. You do one more. 96. 96 comes from... And this really will be our last one. 96 comes from Master. Master says, in your best British accent, comment on how awesome it is to know me. All right. Aiden, you rolled it, so I'll let you field this one.
Who are you?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good. You could have thrown in a bloody hell there. Who the bloody hell are you?
I didn't know if I was allowed to say.
That's all right. So.
Who are thou?
All right. You want to do one more? 79. So difficult. 79 is. Oh shoot! I'm gonna have to there. See, now I gotta redo it. There we go. 79 is from Kyle. When's the last time you shot a gun? A person? Ever been shot by a Roman candle? What's that feel like? All right. When's the last time I shot a gun? I don't know. A couple years ago camping? Last year camping?
Something like that.
Is that when we did it?
Yeah.
Yeah. My brother-in-law, Brooke, sometimes brings guns. If we're going camping at a place where there is a shooting range, and in this particular place, this is actually where we're going next weekend. There is a shooting range that is maybe a mile drive, from where we camp. And so he's taking the kids up there and we'll get everybody lined up and we'll take turns. And he's got a variety of stuff to shoot. So a couple of different rifles and, stuff like that. I don't know. I'm not as comfortable in that one because there's too many kids around. And while, you know, he knows what he's doing and we keep everything safe and there's, you know, at least as many adults as there are children. So it's not like we're not keeping an eye on people. It's still all of the kids who are involved, their kids and ours, are all pretty loud. And this is an exciting event and it's just, there's a lot of noise. And so I'm always a little bit uncomfortable with it. Because it just feels like it's out of control, even though it's not. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense. But I enjoy shooting. So, but I don't usually shoot while we're there. I mean, that's not true. I always shoot at least once while we're there because I'll just stand off to the side watching. I'm just keeping an eye on everybody, just kind of supervising. Because Noah will spend most of his time there just collecting empty shells from the ground. Especially when he was younger, it's just a matter of making sure he doesn't wander off where he's not supposed to be, that kind of thing. And so I'll stand off to the side and not shoot until finally someone says, oh, come on, Mike, you got to try this one. You've never fired this one before. Come on. And then I'll sit down and I'll fire off three or four shots. But usually I don't shoot a whole lot while I'm there. So when's the last time you shot a gun? Same?
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Yep. Same. All right. So, a person? Never shot a person. Unless you're including, you know, with rubber bands or something like that, and then God, who knows? We shoot each other with stuff all the time. Ever been shot by a Roman candle? Nope, not that I'm aware of.
What's a Roman candle?
A Roman candle is a firework that they don't sell around here anymore, where it's a long tube, and you're supposed to plant it in the ground, but no one ever does. They just hold it in their hand, and when you light the fuse, it fires off a flaming ball out the end. And then after a few seconds, it fires another one. And then usually there's either 5 or 10 inside the Roman candle. And after all 10 of them are gone, boom, your Roman candle's done. And so some people have been known to buy Roman candles, and then they light them, and then they use them to have fights with each other for fun, which seems really silly to me. So No, I've never shot a Roman candle at a person, nor have I ever been shot by one. So I don't know what that feels like. So anyway, it is time to wrap up. So, oh, God, why didn't I watch 81. Where his hands were? 81.
We're already there.
I have to put this thing away. 23. All right. It says, what game are you really hoping to play at Gen Con 2016? Or if it already happened when you roll this question, what was your favorite game at Gen Con 2016? What game am I really hoping to play at Gen Con 2016, which is coming up in just 3 weeks? I am really hoping to, I'm looking forward to the Pathfinder game that we're going to play. We've signed up for several different things, and I think it's all going to be cool. But what am I looking, oh man, I don't know.
Kobolds?
I will probably play some Kobolds again. It will probably be awesome. One. Yeah, well, he kept rolling.
That's why I left!
He kept rolling. What am I supposed to do? He learned it from you, okay? He learned it by watching you. I can't think of any games that I don't already know about that, obviously I can't think of a game that I don't know about. Duh. But I'm trying to think, games that I haven't played that I would like to? I don't know. I'm just waiting for people to introduce me to stuff. I would really like to play, maybe a round of, Zombie Cinema, or maybe a round of Instant Game, or some short one-off role-playing game that we can all play in the evening sometime, that one of us can run and just have fun with. But I don't really care. Anything. Any game that we bring and play is going to be awesome. So, I'm not concerned about it. I just love playing games. All right, now, R2 is turned off. We're all done. Oh, it's going to be time to get the listener betrayal in just a minute. Hopefully there's actually some responses. I'm so sorry for being late on that, guys. But in the meantime, I'm going to turn it over to GLaDOS, and she is going to give us a recap of this week's episode.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. The only bumper music this week I used was Weezer's in the Garage. All of my bumper music is available on iTunes. Check it out. Buy them. Enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to do something nice for this podcast, recommend it to your friends, because if you enjoy it, you need to spread the word and let other people enjoy it. Word of mouth is my bread and butter here, people. Bring them in. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. So don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch every week on the forums at nerdpryradio.com/nerds, and on Facebook for Listener Betrayal. If you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all of that grueling, grueling research. Also, this podcast is now a proud member of the Nerd Pride Radio Network, or Nerd Pride Network. Oh, man, I gotta get that straight. Which includes Me Like Trivia, The Cast and the Curious, which I'm assuming an episode is going to be coming out any moment now, and Angry Geeks Versus, all super quality podcasts. I'm not kidding. Well, all right, Cast and the Curious I haven't actually heard, but, you know, I did do a podcast for 3 years with my brother, and we had a great time, and we produced an awesome, awesome podcast together. So I can only imagine that his podcast will also be really, really good, maybe I was the only talent there. Maybe I carried him all that time, and really, he's worthless without me. That's probably the case. You know, we'll find out. We'll give him a shot, though. We'll listen, and we'll find out. Anyway, my contact info, mike@nerdprideradio.com, facebook.com/nerdprideradio, @nerdprideradio on Twitter. But again, to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is you come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up there. Send me a message. We'll hang out together. We'll become best friends in the world. We'll have fun.
We can also put you on the randomizer screen picture.
I don't know what that is.
Where you randomize their screen picture every now and then, where it's like one time it.
Oh!
Screen picture is based around superheroes. Oh,
okay. The random avatar program. Randomized screen picture. I get it. Yeah, the random avatar program. He's absolutely right. If you come, you come sign up for my forums, send me a message. We'll hang out together, become best friends in the world. Also, while you're there, go look at the random avatar program that's in the Nerd Babble section and sign up there. And, you know, every 2 to 4 weeks when I finally come up with a new set of avatars, you'll get a brand new avatar randomly assigned by me. So those are pretty cool, too. But more than any of that, we'll have fun. And now it's time for Listener Betrayal. At the beginning of every podcast, before I start recording, except today, I'm sorry, I go out to my forums at nerdpredradio.com/nerds and out to Facebook and I post up, hey, I'm recording, you know, anything that you put there. I read it off here at the end of the podcast. And sadly, again today, I didn't remember until I was halfway through the podcast. So this one's probably going to be really short. I will be surprised if there's anything more than Nelly on here right now, which at least Nelly is always there to pull my fat out of the fire here. So let's go over to Facebook, and sure enough, it's Nelly. Nelly responds, okay, I'm playing Small World with some friends right now. My only goal is to claim the area with the rainbow. Awesome. On the Small World board, you know the area that has the rainbow right in the middle? No. Maybe. You've only played Small World once. So, yeah, that is the coolest spot on the board, obviously.
Why?
Because it's awesome? I don't know. Is there a significance to the rainbow? Because if there is a significance to it, I've never played with that, so I wouldn't know the difference. Then she says, when will you arrive at Gen Con? We will arrive, my guess is we're arriving, I don't know, super early Thursday morning, like we may be arriving, I don't know.
Right.
If I remember correctly, I think we're doing our driving mostly Wednesday, but I think Dave is going to show up at my place. He's going to hit Nebraska sometime early Wednesday, and so we'll wind up, you know, maybe he can get a little bit of a nap before we go, something, and then we'll drive, and we'll wind up getting into Indy at, like, the wee hours of the morning. So we may even... just pull off into a parking lot and nap in the car until Gen Con opens. And then we'll wait to check in the hotel until later that day. More than likely. So we'll probably be at Gen Con relatively early that day. That's my guess. But it also depends on when Pat and Sarah Beth are coming in, and how we're all going to meet up and all of this. So I don't know all the details for sure, but we'll be there sometime relatively early Thursday. And then she says, because when will you arrive at Gen Con? I can't wait to show you lots of new things. I know. I'm so excited. It's going to be great. We are going to have a good time. And then she says, also regarding the shirt, the two girls, one up shirt that I asked about regarding darks last week. She says, I completely agree with your comments. I see the joke, but I'm not sure how well it would work in public. It's like this. I called something lame, and a person commented saying that that term can be deemed hurtful. It's easy to get defensive and tell them not to overreact, but in the end, there are hundreds of other words I can use instead and not make someone feel bad. Same goes for shirts. And DM Darks is amazing. How could I unfriend him over this? Oh, yeah, you know what? Oh, no, darn it. You're going to say, how could I unfriend him over this? I was going to say, well, you know, when you get to spend some time with him, you'll get to know that he's a really unpleasant person. But then I realized, oh, you did spend time with him last year, and you know how awesome DM Darks is. So therefore, my joke completely falls flat here. So, oh, man, I tried to throw you under the bus there, Darks, but apparently I'm just not good enough to do it. You're that awesome. All right. That's the end of Facebook, although I didn't say end. Let's leave that open and just in case something else comes up. And now we go back to forums at nerdpredradio.com/nerds. Nope. There's no responses on my forums, which I expected. I mean, it's been a half an hour, but yeah, even still, we tried. Let me put an end to this one too before I figure, because I have this urge to go, well, no one's here. Let's just move on. I shouldn't waste time on the podcast. Posting in done, but the minute I do that, someone's going to post in, and no, don't do that. Oh, no, you can't. We're really wrapping up now. It's past your bedtime, man. It is. Yeah, it's 20 minutes past your bedtime. You gotta go.
Say goodbye, R2! I'm trying to make him say goodbye!
Oh, alright. We can turn him on to say goodbye. That's fine. Here. Set him right there. And, alright, so done. And now I'm gonna go back to Facebook. And nope, there's still nothing else here. So we go done. And that's the end of this podcast. So I appreciate you guys joining me. It has been a wonderful time. I hope you guys all have a great week. I love every one of you. And now I need... Hey, say goodnight, Eli. All right, say goodnight, Noah.
No, bye.
All right, goodnight.
R2.
No.
62.
No, let's try this one more time. Ready? All right, now Eli's gone because he hates talking. Say goodnight, Aiden.
Goodnight.
Say goodnight, Noah.
Goodnight.
Say goodnight, R2.
72.
That's it. I'll see you guys next week. No.